Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroad Podcast for today. Today, I'm going to begin part one of a two-part series on our podcast about basically giving the devil a black eye. I was blessed on February 25th, 2016, to be part of three people. Four, if you include the delegate, Rick Metzger, to give testimony before the Maryland House of Delegates Legislature, the Ways and Means Committee, in support of what was called House Bill 955, which will authorize student-initiated voluntary prayer in public schools and school-sponsored events. As I said, I was one of three ministers that gave statements and testimony in support of this bill, plus the bill sponsor, Delegate Rick Metzger. Now, many of you are aware, or at least heard, of how prayer in schools was made illegal by a Supreme Court ruling back in 1963 when Madeleine O'Hare won her lawsuit before the Supreme Court. But I'm going to give you a little brief background on this case and why House Bill 955 to get voluntary student-initiated public prayer back in schools came about. Now, in the 1940s, Madeline Roth was a divorcee who joined the Army. She ended up in a relationship with an officer named William Murray Jr., who refused to leave and divorce his wife for her. So she took his name anyway, Murray. And she gave birth to a boy from that relationship in 1946 and gave him the name William Murray III. In 1954, she gave birth to John Garth Murray, although he was fathered by a different boyfriend at the time, Michael Fiorillo. Now, she was a devout atheist, and her political ideology came around to becoming a Marxist. And she longed for the utopia life of the Soviet Union. So she took her children to the Soviet embassy in Washington, D.C. because she wanted to defect to Mother Russia, but they refused her permission to do so. So in her mind, she decided she would take her children to France, planning on defecting to the Soviet embassy in Paris. Again, she was denied entry. So after a couple weeks, she and her two sons returned home, which was to Baltimore, Maryland. Her home prior to all this happening was directly across the street from the school her son, William, was attending. So once she had her son enrolled in kindergarten in the early 1950s, she never had to go to school. She didn't participate in any school activities or parent-teacher activities or anything like that. She would just watch her son cross the street safely each day, and that was the extent of her involvement in school. But after the trip to Paris, her son, who was now just turning 14, he had been disenrolled from the school because he had been gone for a little over a month. So mother and son went to the school to complete the paperwork so he could once again attend public school. And while completing the paperwork, the announcements came on, and the students reading the announcements also recited a verse of scripture and said a prayer. She then began to rant about how they could not force her son, who's an atheist, to listen to or participate in any type of Christian prayers. And thus a lawsuit was launched called Murray versus Corlett, which is the Baltimore City School District, and asserted that it was unconstitutional to force her son, William III, William Murray III, to be required to participate in Bible readings or even listen to the Bible readings. She stated her son was being bullied by classmates and administrators because of his stance against the Christian God. This lawsuit was then consolidated with another case, Abington School District versus Shemp, which made it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court in 1963. The court voted 8-1 in Shemp's and thus Murray's favor, which effectively banned any type of Bible verse, recitations, or prayers in public school. This ruling came just 1 year after a similar ruling in Engel versus Vitale, which made it illegal to pray in public schools. So she left Maryland with her victory in 1963 after she assaulted five Baltimore City police officers who were trying to retrieve a runaway girl who William III fathered a daughter by. Her name was Robin Murray. She ended up getting married again, this time to Richard O'Hare. Although this marriage ended in separation, she remained married to him until he died in 1978. When she left for Austin, Texas, and formed the American Atheists. By 1990, it mainly consisted of O'Hare, her son Garth Murray, and granddaughter Robin Murray, which was William's daughter, and a few support personnel who also believed in the same ideologies. William Murray became a Christian in 1980 and was immediately disavowed any relationship to Madeline Murray, stating one could call this a postnatal abortion on the part of the mother, I guess. I repudiate him entirely and completely now and for all times. He is beyond any human forgiveness. From that time on, William Murray III never spoke to his mother again. On August 27, 1995, Madeline O'Hare, son John Garth Murray, and granddaughter Robin Murray disappeared. There was a note and a few phone calls over the next several weeks stating they were fine, they were away on business, but police thought otherwise. And I'm not going to go into the details here, that's not the point of my broadcast today. But eventually, it was discovered they had been murdered by a former employee, David Waters, and two accomplices. Waters had kidnapped them and made them withdraw funds and purchase $500,000 of gold coins with the money. After that purchase, none of them were ever heard from again. Out of the three accomplices, or the three kidnappers, the body of one was found a few days after the purchase of the gold was completed. In January 2001, after Waters had been convicted of kidnapping and robbery in the Murray case, he confessed to his participation in the murder of O'Hare and the other two and told police where to find the bodies, and they were exactly where they said. And Waters died of lung cancer in 2003. The bodies were found decomposed and completely mutilated. They were chopped up into so many different pieces, there is no way to tell who was who, and the police had to use DNA to identify the bodies as the O'Hares, as well as a dental analysis and a prosthetic hip on Madeline O'Hare. So, I've said all of that just to bring you up to speed, so to speak, to Friday, February 25th, 2016. That is when I met and gave joint testimony before the Maryland House of Delegates Ways and Means Committee on House Bill 955 that was to permit voluntary student-initiated led prayer in Maryland schools with, you guessed it, William Murray III, Madeline O'Hare Murray's son. After becoming a Christian in 1980, he then went on to enter the ministry, and he's still in ministry today, praise God. And he came back to Maryland to give testimony and support for House Bill 955. Amen. So the lawsuit filed to kick God out of school by his mother was in his name. And now he's lending his name to get God back into school. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Maryland, anyway. And it was an honor to meet this man of God. He has gone through a lot in his life. I can't even begin to imagine it. But he is a humble man, and he's on fire for God. And he gave the devil a black eye on February 25th, 2016. Amen. So that's what I'll be talking about as we go forward now. I am going to play for you a recording of the testimonies that were given before the House of Delegates Ways and Means Committee in the Maryland Legislature on February 25th, 2016. But I wanted to give you the background of the story so you could understand the significance of what was taking place this day. Amen. So from there, we'll go ahead and launch right into the testimony before the House of Delegates.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, and members of this great committee. I've said in my short time, you all have given me a lifetime of memories and great stories. Today, I'm here to introduce House Bill 955, a voluntary, non-sectarian prayer, school-sponsored events. This is student-led voluntary prayer at events such as commencement exercises, athletic events, and so forth. It's amazing to me that we begin each day at the Maryland General Assembly with prayer, and I would like to give public school students the same opportunity to do at commencement exercises and athletic events. I need to say that this bill has bipartisan support. It's not a D or an R. It's just a great bill. In your packet, you have an excerpt from the Maryland Constitution Declaration of Rights, Article 36, Paragraph 2 and Paragraph 3, which states the following: nothing shall prohibit or require the making reference to belief in, reliance upon, or invoking the aid of God or Supreme Being in any government or public document preceding the activity, ceremony, school institution, or place. Nothing in this article constitute an establishment of a religion, 1970, 558, ratified November 3rd, 1970. In your package, you also have two pie graphs showing that the majority of people support organized prayer in school, followed by an NPR article that's showing high school football players, by the way, praying in Suitland, Maryland. Other states are enacting laws to allow voluntary prayer in school. I know that Tennessee right now is talking about prayer in school. Texas, I believe, has already passed prayer in school. Mississippi has already passed prayer in school. There is also an article from Huffington Post and a bar graph showing that the party affiliation of over 60% of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents favor students allowing or say prayer at graduation ceremonies and so forth. As many of you know, I led the Hogan Strong Prayer Service across the state of Maryland. These prayer services were well attended by many young families and of all cultures. Several of you attended these events. I cannot tell you, ladies and gentlemen, how many parents afterwards came to me and expressed an interest in having prayer during school-related events, activities, or morning activities, exercises. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in uncertain times, and there is a growing movement across the United States to allow voluntary prayer led at graduations, athletic events, and many school activities. So I respectfully ask for a favorable report on House Bill 955, and I thank you very much, and I am pleased today, ladies and gentlemen, to introduce to you my panel. The one gentleman I have to speak today is Bill Murray. Bill Murray is the son of, many of you might have heard, Madeline Murray O'Hara, and Bishop Ronald Hobson to my right, and also Reverend Robert Thibodeau. So I'd like to turn it, if you don't mind, to Bill Murray.
Welcome.
Well, thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the committee, for giving me this opportunity. My name is William J. Murray, and the original case to remove prayer from public schools in Maryland was filed in my name when I was a 14-year-old boy, raised in a Marxist home in Baltimore, Maryland. The lawsuit was brought in Baltimore shortly after my family's failed attempt to defect to our imagined utopian paradise, the Soviet Union. In the fall of 1960, was that attempted defection, in which I do give the details of in my first book, My Life Without God. While the stated reason for the lawsuit was separation of church and state, my family believed public religion was an opiate used to suppress the proletariat from revolt. In addition, as do many on campuses today, my family held that we had the right not to be offended, and that the public free speech of others should be suppressed so as not to offend our atheist and Marxist beliefs. Today, the suppression of free speech on campuses is referred to as having a safe zone, and anyone practicing free speech is guilty of microaggression. The removal of prayer from public schools has hindered free speech in Maryland and the nation. As President Thomas Jefferson believed, religious liberty is the first freedom. If expression of religious speech can be hindered, then any speech can be hindered, and the same is true for press and assembly. Any society that does not allow individuals to offend others does not have free speech and cannot call itself a free nation. If I am not allowed to offend anyone with my beliefs today, then I do not live in a free nation. Democracy is a process of picking leadership in an institution or nation. It is not a form of government unless mob rule is the goal. In theory, a monarchy could have greater individual freedom than a democratically elected government. A couple being arrested for defending their Christian beliefs in public in a hotel lobby is an example of democracy without freedom. In my latest book, Utopian Road to Hell, I use noted Australian economist Friedrich van Hayek's term of totalitarian democracy to define many of the attitudes toward true individual liberty in Western so-called democracies today. A nation that operates as a sort of crony democratic state that defines some speech as free and some as forbidden is neither democratic nor free. A road back to true liberty for Maryland and the nation would be HB 955, which would allow those who hold religious beliefs to once again practice them openly during public gatherings. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Robert
Thibodeau. Thibodeau, ma'am.
Thibodeau.
Yes, ma'am. Madam Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, distinguished delegates, thank you for allowing me to appear before you today to give my brief statement of support for House Bill 955 by Rick Metzger, which basically asks you to allow student-led voluntary prayer back in Maryland schools. This bill in no way abdicates or forces prayer on those students who do not want to participate. But for those students who do believe that prayer can and does make a difference in their life, whether others believe it does or not, this bill can actually be a life changer. This bill has the opportunity to save another generation of suffering the consequences of telling them that it's wrong to pray or to believe in a God that hears and answers prayers. Public schools had prayer for nearly 200 years before the Supreme Court ruled that state-mandated class prayers were unconstitutional. The fact that prayer was practiced for nearly 200 years establishes it by precedent as a valid and beneficial practice in our schools. Actually, from the Mayflower Compact till mid-20th century, our nation has always been a nation of prayer. Since the court outlawed prayer, this nation has been in a steady moral decline. Former Secretary of Education William Bennett, in his book, The Index of Leading Cultural Indicators, detailed the statistics on this, with divorce doubling, teenage pregnancy going up 200%, teen suicide increasing 300%, child abuse reaching an all-time high, violent crime went up 500%, and abortions increased 1,000%. This proves a strong correlation between the expulsion of prayer from our schools and the decline in morality. And you see that these results being played out every night, almost on the evening news each night. Forbidding prayer and other religious expressions in public schools establishes, in effect, the religion of secularism. The Supreme Court has affirmed that there are such religions, such as secular humanism, which do not believe in God. Justice Potter on the Supreme Court in 1963 rightly feared that purging the schools of all religious beliefs and practices would lead to the establishment of a religion of secularism. In fact, the beliefs of secular humanism are just the opposite of the meaning of the Declaration of Independence. By not allowing theistic religious expression, the courts have favored the religious beliefs of secular humanism, namely, no belief in God, God-given morals, or prayer, or a day of judgment. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit upheld the moment of silence law in 2009 in the ruling in Croft v. Perry, stating that the law specifies that the moment of silence is a time for students to reflect, pray, meditate, or engage in any other activity, silent activity, that's not likely to interfere with or distract another student. The problem is most schools today still believe it's illegal to even allow them to do silent prayer. To forbid the majority the right to pray because a minority objects is to impose the irreligion of the minority on the religious majority.
forbidding prayer in schools, in which three-quarters of the American public favors, is the tyranny of the minority, and is the rule of minority, not the rule of democracy.
If you could summarize, please.
Yes, ma'am. We took God out of the schools, and look at what we have accomplished as a society in the past 50 years. Please allow the freedom to pray for our children if they desire to do so without fear of persecution. It's my prayer that our Heavenly Father will give you ears to hear and a heart to perceive the promptings of the Holy Spirit and your duties in approving this bill today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And next is Robert Hudson.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairperson, Vice Chairperson, the committee at large, and distinguished guests and co-laborers. I start this testimony with a quote from Oswell Chambers. And I quote, "We have to pray with our eyes on God, not on our difficulties." And he also said, "God does not exist to answer our prayers, but by our prayers we come to discern the mind of God." And I quote. My name is Ronald S. Hobson, Sr. I'm the senior pastor of the Refreshing Spring Worship Center located in Dundalk, Maryland. 28 years ago, I accepted the call into ministry, and looking back over these years have afforded me to appreciate the value and focus of prayer. I could say that I was a product of prayer because endless nights I could hear my mother whisper prayers over her children. Her voice was not audible, but believable and visible as she seen the results appear down the road. Prayer is the communication creation. Prayer is the communication creation has with its creator. From this means of communication, it gives the assurance to man peace, tranquility, and hope. Our forefathers understood this act of communication and made it clear that the United States of America would adhere to the tenets of the Word of God, therefore scribing its money and courts with the theme, and I quote, "In God we trust," end quote. One of the questions that I posed to this committee this afternoon is this: where did we go wrong as a nation? In 1963, one woman by the name of Madeline O'Hare challenged our court system and won the votes of many to take prayer out of our schools, along with reading the only book that gives many hope, the Holy Bible. Since this change, we have witnessed America go through many hard trials, tests, devastations, assassinations, uprisings, misunderstandings, social and economic injustices that has shaken the very core and fiber of this great country. I often use a slogan at my local church: when you do not consult God, you insult him. Look in your schools, in our homes and communities. What do you see? In my eyes, I see a generation trying to find its way back to a place of normalcy. Unfortunately, we'll never reach that place unless we go back to the time where we knew our Creator was number one, which was started with prayer each day. To give an example, each of you could remember September 11th. That day will be etched in our minds until the day of the Lord's return. Where were we and what we were doing at that time reflects us even today and affects our very lives. Supporting this bill, House Bill 955, introduced by Delegate Rick Mesker, Public School Voluntary Secretary Prayer at School-Sponsored Events. America is comprised of many faiths, religions, and practices which cultivate our culture, heritage, and freedoms for all to enjoy. Refusing citizens to pray publicly does a disservice to our Constitution, and I quote, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of press or the right of the people." So what I ask today is that we will look in our hearts to understand we've tried everything else. Why not try prayer back in our schools? Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Don't ask only.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that concludes the testimony portion of what took place on February 25th, 2016, before the Maryland House of Delegates Ways and Means Committee in support of the bill sponsored by Delegate Rick Metzger to allow voluntary, student-initiated public prayer back into the Maryland schools. Now, next time, we'll recap just a little bit, and then we'll go into some of the questions and answers that were provided by the committee to Mr. Metzger. And we'll also talk a little bit more in depth about what you can do to help support this bill. But the idea that we were actually part of history this day, meeting with the man who was, in his name, responsible for the removing of God from the classrooms. And to see him serving God, and to see him giving his name in support of getting God back into schools, to me, it was, well, I was actually part of history. That's the sense that I was getting. So I just wanted to share that with you, our listening audience. And next time, like I said, in part two, we'll recap just a little bit about the testimony, and then we'll do the questions and answers that were taken by the committee for Delegate Rick Metzger. But I wanted to share this with you because it was so important. Now, I know it goes off a little bit on what we've been doing for our podcast, but this was so serious. I just felt led by the Spirit to share this with you. So until next time, this is Pastor Robert Tibbett reminding you, God loves you. We love you. We pray for you each and every day. There is never a day as a partner of this ministry or a broadcaster on our station that you are not covered in prayer. Amen. So until next time, this is Pastor Robert Tibbett reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.